afternoon and welcome to On The Radar here on Eagle FM. I am your host Ndafa Happy Juju and it's Friday, and not just any Friday, it's the 1st of August, the start of a new month, a new chapter, and for many, a moment to reset and refocus. Now whether you're closing the week with momentum or carrying forward unfinished business, we're right here with you, making sense of the noise behind the news. Now here on the Radar, we go beyond the surface. We ask the harder questions. Who's shaping the narrative? Who's behind the left behind? And what does it all mean for the people who keep this country running, from border town to city centers, from informal traders to policy makers? Now today, as we step into a new month, we're also stepping into new debates, renewed promises and ongoing struggles, from social justice and governance to infrastructure, health and education. We connect the dots so that you, the listener, are never left in the dark. Now you can follow this broadcast live via the Eagle FM app and website, or stay connected through Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn in our WhatsApp channel. Now, whether you're in the office, on the road or winding down at home, thank you for choosing time to spend part of your day with us. This is On The Radar, where Namibia's headlines meet Namibia's people. Let's get right into it. Popkewitz Group Foundation celebrates 100 years with 10 million pledged towards nation building. Now, one of Namibia's most established corporate companies, the Popkewitz Group, marked a century of doing business in the country by making a bold statement of social responsibility. On Thursday, through its philanthropic arm, the Popkewitz Foundation, the group announced a 10 million Namibian dollar commitment to support Namibia's human development agenda over the next 3 months. Now, the pledge is set to be disbursed across six critical sectors: education, health, sports, arts and culture, environmental protection and community welfare. Now, the sectors have been identified as key pillars in fostering inclusive growth and sustainable development, particularly in underserved communities. Now, before we get right into what the CEO and those that attended the event actually had to say, let's first talk about transparency in private and foreign funded projects. There's a conversation that we're going to have with economist Charles Kakuru. Charles, good afternoon and welcome to On The Radar Analysis.
Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to the listeners.
Now, Charles, how transparent is the Namibian government when it comes to initiatives funded by private or foreign investors, including the just recent donations like the Popkewitz Foundation's 10 million Namibian dollar pledge?
Thank you very much for bringing me on your show this afternoon. First of all, I think as a country, we have made quite significant strides in promoting transparency through various, frameworks and so forth. It's quite also part of our DNA in ensuring that public funds as well as private, donor financing is quite transparently spent and so forth and so on. Some of them is through various ministries, like the Ministry of, for example, of Finance and Public Enterprises. So they provide a quite, analytical support in ensuring that such finances or funding is in line with our regulations and ensures consistency. Project executions and so forth and so on. So, but when it comes to also the donor funded as well as the corporate social responsibility driven projects, one would say transparency is actually, it varies significantly depending on the entity itself involved. So, given that, we do not have a centralized kind of reporting where we have a public dashboard, so to say, or registry to say all privately or donor-funded or corporate social responsibility funds are recorded or reported by a specific ministry or agency and so forth and so on. So they are quite so reliant on the individual institutions or agencies of government that are implementing or receiving these donor-funded projects, or private sectors to report in terms of how that has been utilized, what impact it has made, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So, yes, but also in terms of the overall oversight, one can say mechanism, there are some in terms of, for example, the government, in terms of the ministries or agencies. We see sometimes through parliamentary committees or the Office of the Auditor General, for example, they play a role in terms of the oversight, that they can be able to, to ensure that at least the public is quite well informed, but they have limited oversight on that.
Yeah. Now, just how important, and I'm sure this is an aspect that you dealt with back in your school days as an economist, just how important is transparency and accountability, even to public funds or funds that have to concern the public? Just how very important is this aspect now, considering that, of course, our current president has said it's not business as usual? How does this transparency and accountability restore trust by the Namibian people in the government of Namibia?
I think, as we all know, dealing with public funds, the public, the taxpayers need to be quite very, aware in terms of what is happening, how they're being spent, and what impact is this public financing, doing for the citizens in general. So in terms of that, transparency actually fosters, confidence in institutions, confidence not only in institutions, but also in terms of the public. We are a democratic nation, and with that, we need to ensure that the citizens can see how these decisions are made, how funds are allocated, who benefits from these development projects, and they are most likely to also trust both the government as well as the corporate actors. So where we have quite a higher number or higher inequality levels, and as well as historical disenfranchisement, they all still shape public sentiments. Transparency so is therefore a cornerstone in terms of our democratic legitimacy. But if we are unsure as citizens in terms of how our public funds is being spent, in terms of how our leaders, in terms of ethical leadership, those in the offices, I would say, because this is where money is most of the time being misappropriated, and we have got the issues rising of, past corruption and soft duplication of effort and so forth. So once we are misaligned with this, I'm quite sure this is where we have got issues now in terms of at a political level. People, they see that as a gap, to create so many political parties and so forth and so on. So we need to enhance efficiency as well as coordination, just to ensure that, systems allow for better coordination, across all our ministries and agencies, as well as private sectors, so to say. So I think for us also to be able to achieve our development goals, we need to ensure that at all levels, both in the private and public sector, we cultivate, and attract, ethical leadership, so that we can be able to attract, even investments outside of Namibia, and so forth and so on, and have global partnerships, so to say. So I think that's quite very important to ensure that we raise transparency at all levels of government as well as private sector.
Where can, for instance, let me say, Namibia houses key institutions, of course, for governance oversight, including the Anti-Corruption Commission, the Ombudsman, the Auditor General offices. However, these institutions are often understaffed and they are under-resourced as well, with limited enforcement capability. You spoke about parliament committees, but parliament committees do exist, yes, but they really challenge executive decisions. Many committee members hold dual roles, and this then brings us to a point where, of course, Namibians want to celebrate, and we really do appreciate stakeholders or companies such as Pupkewitz Foundation making such a huge pledge of $10 million dollars. But then what perhaps recommendations can we say should be in place for us to be able to say, you know what, we know that part of the money was used to buy infrastructure in schools, part of the money really helped. This is the tangible results that we can see.
First of all, let's look at the issue of, for example, the duplication of efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm quite very happy in terms of the reduction in terms of the number of ministries. I think it one thing that we need to do as a nation is to ensure that we avoid the issue of duplication of efforts, because what I see is sometimes you go to a specific ministry, you think they have got the mandate to do a specific, you know, issues and so forth, but you will be informed, no, we need to consult with Ministry A or Agency A and so forth and so on. So that in itself also creates a vacuum in terms of who does what. And
yeah,
the issue of service delivery then starts to lag in that. You might hear there are certain issues that are supposed to be, for example, handled. You mentioned the issue of the Anti-Corruption Commission in terms of staffing.
Mm.
There are issues that need to be handled at the police. But you go to the Minister of Safety, that no, this issue does not lie within our mandate, lies within maybe the ACC and so forth and so on. So these are some of the issues that we need to see to it, that we avoid that they, as stakeholders, we need to come together and have a clear mandate so that we do not overstep in terms of what we are mandated to do. So that is one thing. The other thing is also, if you look at our, I just looked at yesterday, I was quite very lucky to look at the Central Bank's bulletin report. If you look at our debt to GDP, for example, it's quite rising. So that leaves us as a nation with a few cents in terms per dollar to spend,
mm-hmm.
for example, on creating employment and so forth and so on. So lack of finance to create jobs is quite one of the areas that is also hindering in terms of our progress and so forth and so on. So until such time, our economy is quite doing very well. We have got enough revenue to the state. Then the government can be tried, you know, its level best to ensure that there is a discretionary policy to spend, to stimulate spending and so forth and so on. So with that, we'll continue to struggle. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's also higher time we need to start in terms of job rotations and so forth and so on. You find certain ministries having a lot of staff members, but they're just not doing anything.
Mm.
The roles are quite very straightforward in terms of if, for example, I'm the administrator responsible for recruitment, and come there's no recruitment, then I'm relaxing. So there's quite an over supply of labor also within the central government. So we need to ensure that we, as public servants, there's a kind of job rotation. If one ministry is overstaffed, then we need to see how we can be able to rotate them and give them over to other ministries. And the recruitment process is also quite very lengthy.
Yeah.
So those are some of the issues that we need to fill up a post is taking almost,
6 months.
So those are some of the issues that we need to ensure that we do not lag behind in terms of the provision of services to the nation. Yes.
I appreciate that. So in other words, you're actually saying we should find a balance where there is understaffed, let them be filled with where there is oversupply, if there is such a thing in my terminology. But yeah, I get that.
Yes. Exactly. So I think maybe from the office of the Prime Minister to drive that maybe conduct this, you know, some surveys and so forth. Definitely, I believe there are certain agencies or ministries which are quite overstaffed.
Charles, let's get back to the original story. Of course, this prompted me to think in that angle. But then now that Pupkewitz Foundation has pledged or donated 100 million Namibian dollars, what does this say about private sectors in Namibia? Early on this year, of course, at the swearing in of the president, she did say, overhearing people saying here and there that it's not a one-man show. It's going to pull every Namibian to actually play their part for the growth of our economy. Do you think this will now propel and challenge other companies to do the same? I mean, as part of their social corporate responsibility. And what does it just overall say in terms of Namibia's private companies coming on board to actually help the government to help them reach the goal that will benefit all us Namibians?
First of all, we need to applaud the Pupkewitz Foundation for this, you know, priceless, I'll call it, corporate social responsibility of 10 million towards education in other sectors.
Yeah.
I am quite very aware that it is not the first time the Pupkewitz Foundation has done this. They've built on many. They've contributed in many ways to their social responsibility in ensuring that their schools or public, you know, infrastructure built, especially schools, I'm quite aware of. And they've made quite a number of impact projects through their corporate social responsibility. And I think with that, we would like to see many other private sectors dive in that. But also one thing that from my perspective I see is that we need to create or sponsor sectors that have got long-term impact. Instead of, for example, you know, I'm against these issues of soup kitchens and so forth and so on. At the end of the day, we do not have, you know, long-term sustainable projects that can be able to sustain those respective
recipients.
Recipients. So that should also be one line that we need to go into as a nation to ensure that at least this corporate social responsibility speaks to projects that have got long-term impact in our societies and so forth and so on. So, with that, I think, let's see. I think it's also maybe in terms of their strategic alignment and so forth and so forth. We really need to ensure that private sectors are playing and leading a role, not only ensuring that they are, you know, every year there's a corporate social responsibility, but it must ensure that we create even from that, out of that, projects that would be able to sustain those beneficiaries or recipients in the long term.
You know, Charles Kakur, I always appreciate how you make time for us right here on the radar, so we can also tap into your wisdom, and every Namibian Namibian person, wherever they may be listening from, can actually benefit. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks to the listeners.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And there you had it from economist Charles Kakuru. He's just sharing his wisdom, of course, and his analysis in terms of this. Where does Namibia's or transparency, in terms of transparency, let's put it like that, and accountability of Namibia, of the found of, oh my goodness, please pardon me, transparency in terms of pledges or donations that are given to the public, given to the government for the benefit of the public. How transparent is it? Of course, we do appreciate all that is always done, but whether it's by foreign entities, whether it's by private companies. But the question still remains, how about us Namibians as well? How about us, the public, get to know exactly how each dollar was spent? Now, with that being said, let's pause right here. We'll be back with yet the still same news.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better.
Warm up with red hot deals at WB. Get 750 grams CNB mayo for only $37.99 with SmartBuy. 2x1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with SmartBuy. 5 kg Palana elbows or mac for just $122.99. And 2.2 kg surf hand wash powder for only $49.99. See all our July month-end specials at www.voermanbrock.com. We care.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Now, speaking at the event, Foundation CEO Mary Bali emphasized the importance of targeted impact. She noted that the foundation works closely with civil society organizations, local communities, and government ministries to identify pressing needs on the ground and deliver support where it's most needed. This commitment comes at a time when Namibia continues to grapple with socio-economic inequalities, under-resourced public services, and youth unemployment. The pledge reflects the private sector's growing role in public-private partnerships aimed at nation-building and community upliftment. Founded in 1924, the Pupkewitz Group has grown from a modest trading operation into a diversified business empire, spanning automotive, retail, and construction sectors. Its signatory pledge not only celebrates its corporate legacy, but also signals a forward-looking commitment to Namibia's long-term development. Let's now take a listen at Mary Bali as she spoke at the event.
It is a true honor to welcome you here today as we mark a momentous milestone, 100 years of the Pupkewitz Group. What began as a humble general dealer on the corner of Tal and Rehoboth streets in 1925 has grown into one of Namibia's most respected and enduring businesses. Today we gather to celebrate that legacy and to look boldly to the future. To mark this centenary, we are proud to share the milestone that speaks not just to our longevity, but to our values, a landmark pledge by the Pupkewitz Foundation of 10 million over the next 12 months, signifying 100,000 for each of the 100 years we have been in business. Pupkewitz Foundation reinforces its commitment to national development and community upliftment across the whole of Namibia. This reflects a century-old belief we hold that business must be a force for good, that with success comes responsibility, that our purpose goes beyond profit, to people, to community, to country. This 10 million pledge is both a tribute to our past and a promise to Namibia's future. It is rooted in legacy, driven by purpose, and inspired by the belief that our greatest impact still lies ahead. The growth of the foundation's budget over the years has been deliberate and unwavering. Even in the most difficult times, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, we chose not to retreat, but to respond. When the country needed us most, we stepped up. Our pledge today is made possible by the dedication of our people and the trust of our customers. The foundation is funded by the operating companies of the Pakwitz Group, and we extend our heartfelt gratitude to the teams who build resilient businesses every day and to every Namibian who chooses to shop with or partner with us. Your loyalty fuels a larger purpose, to uplift, to support, and to build a Namibia where everyone can thrive. This pledge will be channeled towards the Foundation's 6 key pillars, reaching communities in all corners of the country. Education, empowering minds and unlocking opportunity. Health, supporting access to care and well-being. Community care, strengthening the social fabric of our nation. Environment, protecting the natural beauty that sustains us. Sport, nurturing talent, unity and discipline. Arts and culture, celebrating the stories, creativity and spirit of Namibia. These pillars are not abstract ideals. They are grounded in real projects, real partnerships, and real impact forged through years of experience and implementation. They reflect the values we hold dear and the country we are proud to serve. Importantly, our approach has always been one of collaboration. We work closely with the government, civil society organizations, local communities, regional councils to implement projects, programs, and grassroots activities effectively, ensuring our resources go where they are needed most and have a lasting impact. My late father, Harold Patkiewicz, believed deeply in the role of business in nation building. He once said, "It is important to have pride in your nation based on the joy of what is being achieved and the progress that is being made." We often reminded us that education is the key to success and that we must teach our children the values of honesty, truth, justice, fairness, and benevolence. Finally, benevolence to be kind to less fortunate people, to develop a strong social sense that you belong to society and have a responsibility to it. Those words reflect our family's compass and the Foundation's mission. The work on the Foundation is a collective effort where the skills of many people are put to various tasks at hand. It requires a high degree of organization, tenacity, care, and a collegiate spirit. A huge thank you to the direct team who work together closely on the day-to-day to keep the organization running effectively. Thank you to my staff. I would also like to spotlight the network within which the Foundation operates more broadly, and thank you to those who orbit around the Foundation and provide additional specialized support when we need it, our project partners and implementers, the Foundation trustees, our volunteers, and of course, all those who contribute to the success of the holdings company which funds the Foundation. As we look to the next 100 years, we do so with humility, hope, and the unwavering belief that our hearts, our best days, are still ahead. We invite you to join us on this journey to build, to give, and to serve, because the heart of the Pakwitz legacy has always been service. On behalf of the Pakwitz Foundation, thank you. Thank you for being part of this special day. Together we are strong, and together we are Namibia.
Also, at the event is the Minister of Health and Social Services Executive Director, Penda Ithindi, who expressed gratitude to the Pakwitz Foundation.
It is indeed a pleasure for me and for the Ministry of Health and Social Services in particular to be associated with this centenary celebration of the Pakwitz Foundation. It is a momentous occasion. It is a happy occasion to me and to the Ministry of Health and Social Services. And we are happy to be associated celebrating this occasion. Indeed, Director of Proceedings, gratitude and feeling gratitude is what it is. in the words of William Arthur, feeling gratitude, it is like having a gift that you do not unwrap and give it and giving it. And from the perspective of the Ministry of Health and Social Services, that is what it is. This foundation is laid out by Madam Berry, is laid out by the previous speakers, my colleague, Mr. Fritz from the Education Front. We are Siemens twins as beneficiaries, and the sectors we represent as beneficiaries of the impactful investment that this foundation has made, which investments have gone a long way to positively impact lives and livelihoods in the country, and we bear testimony to that. And I think, truth be said, really, it is those tangible testimonies and that represent the impact that the investment from this foundation has made, which are important to bear credence to the relevance of this foundation. It is for us a true partner, a friend, not only in need, but in deed, because these deeds have been demonstrated and proven over time. As you pretty well know, and in the health sector, and as I join you, some of you for the first time, in the shoes that I'm wearing, we, from the public health sector, we are dealing with that venerable obligation and duty to make sure that we work together and in partnership with the private health sector. We are not competitors, we work in complementary to provide quality health care to Namibians, to provide accessible health care, affordable health care to Namibians and all those people that find themselves in the land of the brave. And obviously, I agree fully with my colleague, Dr. Shidika, that yes, alone as the public sector, alone as government, we are not able to walk that long walk alone, but we need trusted partners like the Bukelis Foundation to be able to traverse that mile and to be able to make that tangible impact on the lives of Namibians. The proposition has been set forth that this is now the moment for Namibia, as we also stand at the crossroads of impactful and a great economic transformation, that in the social and health services sector, the proposition is put that this is the moment for us also to gear ourselves up towards providing universal health coverage for all in the country. And that requires a whole set of impactful interventions across the whole value chain in the health and social services sector. This foundation, over the years, has demonstrated that is that social partner, is that agent of change, an agent of transformation towards the proposition for Namibia and the people in Namibia to achieve that shared prosperity with high quality of life, with improved longevity of life. But that we can only do if we tackle the persistent challenges and we tackle the morbidity issues and the full quality of lives in the health and social services sector. What has been the specific interventions and specific endeavors that that this foundation has contributed to? Look at the health infrastructure, healthcare infrastructure, for example, for which I do not need to show a video or a picture for us to contrast where we are and where we aspire to be. It is this foundation which stepped up its generous footprint to partner with government and contribute to the setting up and the establishment and the refurbishment of healthcare infrastructure across the country, because that's the backbone through which services and which services are provided. This foundation has stepped up to look at the core infrastructure whether it is medical wards, whether it is administrative building blocks where the administrators have to be. I'm speaking in particular for Onanjogwe Intermediate Hospital, where facilities of that nature have been set up. I'm talking about the interventions that this foundation has made in the Kunene region to set up and establish a clinic that saves thousands of our people, and also nurses accommodate thousands of our people in that part, beautiful part of our country, which may be distant, and the communities which may be distant from the center. But when we do so, we enable the provision of that life-changing and impactful provision of quality of services. And I would want us to clap for the foundation.
And now for a short commercial break. When we return, we'll be announcing to you this week's winner of the Shoprite YouSave voucher.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build?
And now the moment you all been waiting for is finally here. The Shoprite YouSave voucher. Not just any voucher though, 500 voucher. And you know, you should tune in every Friday from 13:45 to find out if you're the lucky winner. Now this week's question was, what makes YouSave different from other shops? Now our winner today said, and I read, what makes YouSave different from other shops is one of the key factors that sets YouSave Namibia apart is its dedication to supporting local businesses and artisans. By showcasing a range of products that are sourced from within Namibia, the shop not only promotes the country's rich cultural heritage, but also contributes to the local economy. This focus on local content resonates deeply with customers who are eager to support homegrown initiatives and experience the unique flavors and traditions of Namibia. Furthermore, YouSave Namibia's product range is carefully curated to meet the diverse needs of its customers, from everyday essentials to specialty items. The shop's shelves are stocked with a thoughtful selection of products that cater to various tastes and preferences. Whether customers are looking for traditional Namibian cuisine, unique souvenirs, or innovative solutions. Another aspect that distinguishes YouSave Namibia is its exceptional customer service. The shop's staffs are knowledgeable, friendly, and passionate about providing an exceptional shopping experience. Pardon me. They take the time to understand customers' needs, offer personalized recommendations, and ensure that every visitor leaves the shop feeling valued and satisfied. In conclusion, you save Namibia's unique blend of local relevance, quality products, and exceptional customer service sets it apart from other shops in Namibia. By staying true to its values and commitment to the Namibian community, the shop has established itself as a beloved destination of customers who value authenticity, innovation, and excellence. As a proud representative of Namibian retail, You Save Namibia is an inspiration to others and a testament to the power of community-driven business practices. Now, if you know you're the one that wrote this, well, expect our call right now. Let's call up our lucky winner. I hope she's close to the line. And that's one aspect that's also very important. As you participate, make sure that you're always nearby your phone and tuning into Eagle FM at this time around. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, am I speaking to Selma?
Yes, you're speaking to Selma, ma'am.
Selma, what's your surname or your other name? I'm calling you from Eagle FM, so you are live on air right now. Anything you say can be used against you in the court of law.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm calling to inform you that you are the lucky winner for this week's 500 ShopRite You Save gift voucher.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
How do you feel being the lucky winner in the very first month of August?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
I'm feeling good.
And I'm losing you a little bit.
Hello?
Selma, where are you? You are in Windhoek. I think you're our first lucky winner from Windhoek, hey? All the others actually from outside Windhoek.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I sure hope you pop up at our studios to come and pick up your gift voucher.
Okay, man.
Okay. Our team will
Thank
be in touch
so
with
much,
you.
Ma'am.
You're welcome, Selma. And what would you want to say to another person who is listening at home and wants to be a lucky winner as well?
I just want to tell them that they must not give up on entering any competition.
Yeah. But I must ask, Selma, what inspired you to write such an interesting write-up about You Save?
Because I used to buy You Save.
Say that again. Repeat it again.
Can you repeat that question again, ma'am?
I was saying, what inspired you to write such a beautiful write-up in regards to You Save?
It's because I want to win the 500. And I've been entering a lot of competitions. I didn't make it.
Selma, is that the only reason? Because you want to win?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, Selma, congratulations.
Okay, thank you so much, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
And there we have our lucky winner for today. Now remember, you can also partake and be the lucky winner next time. Tune in always on the Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM, Monday to Friday, not just on Fridays, but all the time, so you can know that you are also the lucky winner, especially on Fridays. With that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level.
Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
This is a ShopRite Life Read. Find a ShopRite liquor shop in your neighborhood, north, down south, or somewhere in between for hot deals on 6x440ml bottles Windhoek Premium Lager for only 79 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. 3 liters of Namakwa Sweet Rosé boxed wine for only 124 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. 3 liters of Pearly Bay Natural Sweet Rosé boxed wine for only 149 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. And Tassenberg dry red wine for 39 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. Winter warm savings at ShopRite liquor shops. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On The Radar Analysis right here on Eagle FM. That is your midday news bulletin between 13:30 to 14:30, between 1300 hours on the dot to 14:30. Now, of course, we are moving on to economic indicators, and we're starting off with the Namibian dollar compared to other currencies. Now, one US dollar today will get you 18 Namibian dollars and 31 cents. 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 90 cents. 1 pound sterling will get you 24 Namibian dollars and 10 cents. 1 Australian dollar will get you 2 Namibian dollars and 36 cents. 1 Chinese yuan will get you 2 Namibian dollars and 54 cents, while 1 Botswana pula will get you $1.34. And lastly, 1 Nigerian naira will get you 0.012 Namibian dollars. Now, let's move on to other indicators. But before we do, let's pause right here because we do have a commercial break coming up your way. And then we'll be back to get right into it.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo joto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete okoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nune uto otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile ko derewa Mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu Oma felane Eagle FM the eye
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And
you save a slash prices on groceries such as 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 84 grams of Robertson's chicken spice, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. Kno soup of all variants, just 5.99 each. 700 milliliter Wellington's tomato sauce, just 25.99 Namibian dollars. 2 liters of Right Brand sunflower oil, just 68.99 Namibian dollars. And 2 kilo bag Pasta King elbow pasta, just 44.99 Namibian dollars. Save big at You Save.
Political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now it's at this point that we take you to economic indicators or trading economics. South Africa's seasonally adjusted Absa Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, rose to 50.8 in July 2025 from 48.5 in June, marking the manufacturing sector's first return to positive territory in 9 months. The expansion was driven by a strong recovery in demand, with the new sales orders surging by 9.8 points to 55.9, its third consecutive monthly improvement. However, signs of caution persist as the employment and expected business conditions sub-indices fell by 6 and 6.1 points respectively, reflecting concerns over volatile global trade policies. The sector also faces headwinds from a 30% US tariff on South African exports starting next week, which could cost tens of thousands of jobs following the lapse of a trade deal deadline set by US President Donald Trump. Retail sales in Cyprus increased by 8.2% year-on-year in June 2025, slowing from a 3-year high of 10% in the previous month. The slowdown was primarily driven by moderated sales in food, beverages, and tobacco in non-specialized stores at 6.9% versus 9.2% in May, automotive fuel at 8% versus 8.8%, other household equipment at 9.6% versus 11.4%, clothing and footwear at 9.5% versus 14.7%, pharmaceutical, orthopedic goods and cosmetics at 6.2% versus 7.6%. Additionally, sales declined for cultural and recreation goods. Meanwhile, sales accelerated for food, beverages and tobacco in specialized stores and information and communication equipment. On a year-to-date basis, retail sales advanced by 6.9%. Eurozone's consumer prices inflation held steady at 2.0% year-on-year in July 2025, unchanged from June, but slightly above market expectations of 1.9%, according to preliminary estimates. Now, this marks the second consecutive month that inflation is aligned with the European Central Bank's official target, a slowdown to services inflation at 3.1% versus 3.3% in June, helped offset faster price increases in food, alcohol and tobacco, and non-energy industrial goods. Energy prices continued to decline, falling by 2.5%, following a 2.6% drop in June. Meanwhile, core inflation, which excludes energy, food, alcohol and tobacco, remained unchanged at 2.3%, its lowest level since January. The Swiss franc extended its decline to around 0.82 per US dollar, its lowest level since June 20, following the US administration's shocking decision to implement a 39% tariff on Swiss products starting August the 7th. The rate, among the highest globally, exceeds the 31% initially proposed in April and is likely to have a substantial negative impact on Switzerland's export-oriented economy, particularly its luxury watch and pharmaceutical sectors. President Trump signed an executive order on July 31st, implementing a 10% global minimum tariff, with rates rising to 15% or more for countries that maintain trade surpluses with the U.S. As a consequence of the newly imposed higher U.S. tariffs on Swiss exports, the Swiss National Bank, SNB, which already cut interest rates to zero in June, may be compelled to adopt a more dovish monetary stance at the next policy meeting, is scheduled for 25th September 2025. The number of foreign visits to Turkey fell by 1.5% year-on-year to 5.77 million in June 2025, marking a second consecutive monthly decline. Notable decreases were recorded in arrivals from Bulgaria at minus 8.6%, the UK at minus 6.4%, and Poland at minus 2.2%. In contrast, visitors from Russia and Germany increased by 1.8% and 11.1%, respectively. Antalya was the most popular destination, accounting for 38.6% of all foreign arrivals, followed by Istanbul at 28.3% and Mughla at 9.3%. For the first half of the year, total foreign arrivals edged down at 1.1% from a year earlier to 21.4 million. And that's what we had for you today in terms of trading economics. Let's pause right here and we'll be back to bring you news beyond the borders. Stay right here.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumuna oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatimwe bali hea hi nola natu. Heari bali no heari ile konderewa. Nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. We start off regionally, move over to continental news, thereafter international news. Now, since August is Women's Month, South Africa's Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, Cindy Siwe Chikunga, launches Women's Trade Dialogue.
Chikunga. The Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, that's Cindy Siwe Chikunga, has kicked off the 2025 Women's Month with a women's trade dialogue under the theme Building Resilient Economies for All. The focus, we're told, is on helping women in informal sectors and boosting access to funding and trade opportunities. Watching the story is SABC News reporter Katlego Legodi, who joins us now live from the Sandton Convention Center where this event is being held. And it's timely, Katlego, given, of course, the back and forth, shall we say, about these tariffs from the US, not only on South Africa, but several other countries around the world.
Most definitely. A very good morning to Ayanda and to our viewers at home. This particular event here coming through, you're right, at a pivotal time as we see various of the sectors, various of the countries take stock of women inclusion and really just being resilient around ensuring that women are not left behind where some of these issues are concerned. Here you find us just talking about trade and inclusion in line with the theme here in terms of building resilient economies that will not leave anyone behind, including women. So we see Minister Cindy Siwe Chikunga officially kicking off the event here, officially kicking off also the Women's Month activities in line with how then we're going to see various of these activities streamlined by government, but also her making that clarion call to all of those that are here to ensure that they are really emphatic in not leaving women behind. All issues are being discussed here, are being centered also around issues of gender-based violence, but also where we find ourselves now. You know that the country has moved the tide a bit as well. We see Maya, Mandisa Maya, being the first women chief justice. So we see various of those issues coming under the spotlight here, Ayanda, as they reflect, but also in line with ensuring that women are not left behind where trade conversations are concerned. I'm going to bring her into the conversation with us here this morning. Minister Cindy Siwe Chikunga, you've just come off the podium and there was a resounding round of applause, really in line with the promises that lie ahead in protecting women, but also emphasizing the inclusion of women in the economies. Welcome to the SABC. Let's just get a sense of how we are looking at marking this Women's Month and these activities, but also let's talk about the trade issues and where women find themselves today.
Thank you very much for having us. Indeed, today marks the beginning of an important month, which is Women's Month. And we are here, as you have said, with the theme of this month being building resilient economies for all. And they all include women. And we are actually focusing on building the resilient economies because we cannot speak about resilient economies when women are not able to access funding, for instance, when women are not able to access market, for instance, when women face a number of barriers, even as they start their small businesses. And we are happy that we are starting this with women who are entrepreneurs, who are in business already from all walks of life, from the most rural part of South Africa, from the farm part of South Africa, farm areas part of South Africa, from the semi-urban and urban areas, being here, bringing their produce and their staff to say, this is what we are doing. But of course, these are the challenges that we have. Just communicating and interacting with them. Somebody was actually saying, I have got these products, but when I want to sell them, they want to buy them at a very low price, and therefore I'm selling them myself. And it is important that the funders and the buyers and the investors must actually hear that from these women. But of course, that we must buy. What is actually humbling me is to see the number of women that are making it in the business area with all the difficulties that are there, but they have actually tried. But we're also saying to them, we're bringing you here so that you can also network, you can take numbers so that you can share information, because somebody has been through the barrier that you are experiencing today, and somebody can actually guide you on how to go forward. And that is why we are here. But of course, to mark, as I've said, and to launch officially the Women's Month, it was very pleasing for one and humbling for one to say, we therefore are here to declare the 2025 Women's Month already launched. We are going to go to Limpopo Zanini Nkowankowa Stadium, where the president is going to address the nation on women issues. And our take is that will be the state of the women's address by the president. So we speak of SONA. This time around, we want to speak of SOWA by the president, which is the state of the women addressed by the president, so that South Africa should know as to what women are going through. But we are very happy that there is some progress that we are making. In our speech, we actually covered what has happened since August last year up until today, including the signing into law, the Public Procurement Act, which was signed into law by the president. The signing into law of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, which was signed by the president. The appointment of the IMC on gender-based violence and femicide, and quite a number of others that we refer to. But of course, the fact that when we visit provinces, we now not say, bring women who are empowered. We say, bring women that you empowered between August last year and August this year, so that it's not the repeat of what we saw the previous year. And they are able to do that. What also I'm happy about now is to actually see many departments beginning to find it compulsory that in anything that they report about, it includes women, it includes persons with disabilities, it includes youth.
Very bold statements right there by the Minister of Disabilities in South Africa, Minister of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, that is Sindisiwe Chikunga, how she speaks about inclusion of people with disabilities. And not only that, she's advocating for women and the youth. And I think looking at this, I was thinking to myself that, wait, this is quite an interesting merger. Looking more like for those who are mostly maybe underprivileged, all under one ministry. Now, of course, let's move on. Meanwhile, the government of Zambia has launched solar-powered boreholes in Labushimanda to tackle water challenges.
In Lavushimanda district, the people of Tuwondo community are still grappling with a big challenge, lack of clean water. As a farming area, water is not just for drinking, it is key to their way of life. On his continued visit to Lavushimanda, Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Elias Mwanga has brought a message of hope.
Kuno kulefa kwa mensh, kufudetu ambo kuimbechi, ichishima, ilili ne mwala musala, malama. Efo nde mwa fiyako wati, kuno, tuambio kuipika kwechi ichishima, tuvike kona tanki, ndala meposhidi musidie, meposhidi. Ushe mwleta tatukwe tendalama, ndala meposhidi. Tabaishile mweba, intunguru shiamano, firewa abebo kwe wati, ndala mashenuba ninashisa. Tuwala mboku mwimbine nchi, ichishima. Nomba ame nshinga takuli. Indala mashabu teko wakainde ichile maali vika msidiye fusha kuimbile fushima. Eto tabale imbila nchinshi. Iyo kukana mutemwa kabili tabale foku mbano muteko.
Mr. Mwanga also toured Tuwondo Primary School to appreciate the impact of the Constituency Development Fund CDF.
CDF here at Tuwondo Primary School, it is what I can say, it is a game changer. After being constructed, this block, we have received a lot of children coming back to school.
Meanwhile, Kaputa Member of Parliament Elvis Nkandu has engaged residents of Mpumba and Kapwanya communities. Mr. Mwanga and Mr. Nkandu remain actively on the ground, engaging communities on key developmental matters that affect their daily lives. Lucky Piri, ZNBC News, Lavushimanda.
Let's cross borders over to Kenya.
Marks the start of a multi-million dollar road project set to connect Lusaka.
LinkedIn adapting to African market.
Where are we and where are we heading to?
Still in technology, but how we look for jobs. If you are to look for a job today, you'd start with LinkedIn, which has traditionally been known as a platform to network and get jobs. With Africa being fastest growing continent, the platform is experiencing changes to cater to the growing number of job seekers on the continent. Now, our very own Noah Kipkemboi caught up with LinkedIn head Simas Klenzi, the head of public sector at LinkedIn, and started by asking him, how different is the African market?
Fundamentally, when I look at Africa, and specifically if I focus into Eastern Africa, look at Kenya, look at Ethiopia, look at some of the Eastern African countries. Firstly, the young population, a massive, massive opportunity. These are young people who are going to have a great future, a great opportunity to thrive in the future of work. But what these people need, and this is what us, LinkedIn, we're really bought into, is creating economic opportunity for them, okay? We want to ensure that we remove the obstacle to employment or the barrier to employment. And the way we do that is by making sure everybody has an opportunity. And the way we do that is by actually educating the population, making sure that the population have the right skills for the future of work. That's as simple as, do people have the right digital skills? If people want to enter a specific industry, do they have the right skills for that industry? So fundamentally for me, it's the democratization of learning, making it available. And when I look at Africa and I look at, when you create an opportunity for an African country, be it by making, say, for example, learning content available, the consumption rates are 3x most of the markets because there's a desire, a real need to learn. So that for me is very good to see. I'm really happy to see that when you create this opportunity, people take advantage of it.
Definitely. And what are some of the most sought after content when it comes to learning on LinkedIn for, you know, Africa? And I don't want to generalize because the continent is also quite diverse.
Sure.
East Africa, Kenya to be specific.
Yeah. So two things I see as being very prominent. Firstly is digital skills. People want to understand what social media tools are, what it is to be effective, how it is to use technology. So that goes without saying. But what's really interesting is, and this is a global phenomenon, if I look at the usage of our platform, when we make it available to large populations, nearly every time what we see as being the most consumed content are topics like what we regard as being natural skills, okay? Soft skills, essential soft skills. So people will double down on how to be more effective, how to be a better communicator, how to be a better team player, all the kind of things that we take for granted, we take as being inferred skills. There's a real desire, a real thirst for people to actually excel in these with these skills and showcase that they have these skills, because it is what will differentiate us from AI going forward.
Traditionally, people use LinkedIn for jobs.
Yep.
And there seems to be sort of a deviation. And the platform is diversifying now, becoming a learning platform. Maybe help us understand the mindset, that change of, oh, LinkedIn is just for jobs, and now we are moving into being an education and data-driven center.
Yeah. So I would see LinkedIn as very much being a one-stop shop, okay? And what I mean by that is, it's always been a jobs board where you and I can apply for jobs. If I have the right skills, if I pass the interviews, I get the job. We fundamentally want to empower the working population. We want to create economic opportunities, okay? So there's people being left behind. And what I mean by that is there are people who cannot find jobs because they may not have the right skills. They may have a skills gap. They may be lacking a crucial skill to help them get that job. And that's where the learning platform comes in. So we use AI, we use skills, we use the information we have about the person. We look at the job the person may be applying for, and we look to see what the delta may be. And that's where the learning platform comes in. The learning platform is going to be used to close that skills gap. And we're passionate about that. We want to close that skills gap. We want to make education and learning opportunities available to everybody.
Data is king.
Now let's talk about macro matters. The Bank of England split may get more hawkish.
The Bank of England is expected to cut rates next week, but the economic environment seems more unpredictable than ever. This is Macro Matters, and we're talking the Bank of England. UK policymakers are expected to deliver a rate cut on Thursday, but they're unlikely to all agree. Some economists think more aggressive action is needed to boost Britain's slowing job market. Others think inflation is still too persistent, and the Trump administration's upending of the global trade picture makes it difficult to forecast. Liz Martins is HSBC's senior UK economist. Liz, are you expecting a split in opinion among the committee members?
We are indeed. And as you say, the economic picture just makes that split kind of almost inevitable. Some people are much more worried about inflation. Some people are much more worried about growth in the jobs market. So we saw that split back in May, the last time they cut. Some people wanted a half point cut, some a quarter, some no change at all. And we think that will happen again, except we think the split this time will be slightly more hawkish. And that's one more vote for no change. We think that will be Megan Green joining Catherine Mann and Hugh Pill, 4 for a quarter and 2 for a half point cut. So yes, a big split of opinions, but a shift very slightly towards no change.
What's the bigger risk, though, do you think, that they cut too quickly or not quickly enough?
It's really tough, isn't it? Because, you know, there's real concerns on both sides. We've started to see unemployment rise. We're seeing vacancies well down. We're seeing wage growth slow. So all of that would speak to the need for a cut. The other thing I think that argues for cutting rates is the continued high savings rate, high savings intentions, which means that even where people are getting a bit better off in terms of real incomes, people aren't spending that money. They're not going out and spending it. They're keeping it in the bank. All of that speaks to the need for a cut to get this economy going again. On the other hand, the BOE's primary target is to get inflation down to 2%. And, you know, it may forecast in this update that inflation's going as high as 3.8, maybe even 4%, double the target. And when your first task is to reduce inflation, you know, I think that has to be the priority. And that's why I think, you know, the vote split will go a little bit in the hawkish direction. And the messaging might be a bit cautious too. It might be, you know, we've got rates down from 5.25% down to 4%, but now we really need to see some more evidence of inflation coming back under control before we do any more.
The average prediction from economists that Reuters polled was 4 quarter point cuts in the next year, including next week. What's yours?
We've got 5, actually. So we do think we will get all the way down to 3% by August 2026. So that's slightly contradictory to what I just said about the hawkish messaging. But essentially what that encompasses is a view that we are in an inflation hump. The BOE rightly will need to see more evidence before they continue, but we think they will see that evidence. And I think the slowing, the sort of sluggish growth, the poor jobs market, that will produce the evidence of falling inflation that they need to see. And this should be a temporary one-off kind of hump in inflation before we get lots more readings down in the twos next year rather than the threes.
What about
Meanwhile, the US announces new tariffs for dozens of countries.
Starting in the United States, where the White House has announced new tariff rates for dozens of countries that have not yet reached a trade deal with the United States. Most of the measures are due to come into effect in 7 days. Well, having a look through the list, we can see that the steepest rates include Laos at 40% and Switzerland at 39%. While Canada, one of America's closest trading partners, will face a rate that's been increased from 25 to 35%. Other countries affected by the executive order are India at 25%, Taiwan at 20%, and Indonesia at 19%. These taxes will be paid by companies that bring foreign goods into the United States, with experts warning that higher costs could be passed on to consumers. Looking at President Trump's latest deal with the EU, I put it to our North America correspondent, David Willis, that there's plenty of evidence these tariffs and Donald Trump's plan is working.
You're absolutely right, Tig. And indeed, the stock market has been buoyant in recent weeks, having forgotten all about the controversy that was stirred up back in April, of course, when Donald Trump initially announced his plans to levy these tariffs, quite steep tariffs on more than 60 countries, ranging, we now know, from 50% to 10%. The White House touting this as a sign of Donald Trump's abilities, if you like, as a negotiator, as someone who can already bring billions of dollars into the Treasury coffers by means of these new levies. But there is, of course, concern that eventually this could all feed through to the consumer, the man on the street, who will face rising prices in the shops. And that, of course, could affect the economy here, the largest in the world.
And with that being said, we have come to the conclusion of this week's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Now do stay tuned again for the Onkonana Dengi program brought to you by Louis Oshimi, all the way from our Ondangwa studios. Thereafter, the Home Run Show from 16:30 with Dwight and Helmut, and then the Business Economics segment brought to you by Hileni. From me, Ndafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again on Saturday from 1900 hours up until to 2100 hours for life lessons. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And
basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete okoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ngeta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ingepada sana kodika ko Eagle FM
onora shatimwe wali hefi nona natu faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give...